tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just one verse, verse 9. Paul writes this and he says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scriptures. Lord, without them we'd be lost. And I pray that you just be with us now, this point where we take a look and see what your Bible has to say. And Lord, once again, we can't pray without praying for our pastor. And Lord, I pray that you just strengthen him tonight in your name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I preached a message on what to do when you don't know what to do. And I talked about how, when things start to go a little crazy, not to change who you are and to encourage others, lead others to Christ, remember the blessings that we have. And just wanted to continue on that subject of when troubles come. I'm sure if we were to get a microphone, which none of us really want to do it, but if we were, where we could write down on a piece of paper, and you would just list off all the troubles that you've got going on in your life right now, it would take us a while to get through those. It's always easier for us to write down our struggles and our hardships and our difficulties rather than what we're thankful for. But every single one of us are faced with some type of adversity. Usually we kind of categorize the adversity into a couple different ways. Number one, it's if it's something that I can take care of myself. Something comes up and it's a problem, can I fix it? If we can fix it, usually we don't give it that much extra thought. It becomes more of a nuisance than anything else. And then it's fixed, it goes on, we go on our way. Then there are times when we have something that comes up that we may need to turn to somebody else to help us fix it. Maybe a little bit of advice. Sometimes you get some problems with the house or something like that, and you have to turn to an expert. Plumbing problems. See Roy Rouse's son, Curtis. He's fantastic. But there are times when you have problems in your lives that can be fixed by somebody else, somebody else's expertise, maybe their advice, different things like that. And then there are times when you have problems that absolutely nobody can fix. There's nothing you can do about it. Whenever the first two happen, don't get too concerned about it unless it continually happens. And then it becomes a problem. But really, when we struggle is when we struggle, when we have problems that come up and nobody can help us. We feel alone. We feel secluded from people. Especially when nobody can help you, you feel like there's nobody to turn to. Nobody understands. Nobody knows the feelings that I have. They can't understand the problems. And we go into all these things that we think about. And we sit there and we question, why is this happening? I remember somebody telling me, you should never challenge God and ask why things happen to you. Just trust in God. But there's nothing wrong with asking God why. Now, when you start to blame God, that's something different. When you start to accuse God and say, God, this is it's your fault that this is happening. My life was great, and then all of a sudden this came and disrupted it. This problem that I'm facing is changing in my life and making it more difficult. Why are you letting this happen to me? And the question is why not? Why not? We are spoiled. We're spoiled. Americans as a whole are spoiled. It's just a fact. We've got two families here that at one time were on a mission field. The Matthews and the Ortezes. And I guarantee you, if you were to talk to them about the difference from America to the countries that they were in, it's huge. I was talking with a coworker today, and he spent some time down in Brazil, and he was telling me about how their sanitation doesn't exist. Their sewer just runs right into the rivers, and that's pretty much how it is. We're reading an article where they had thousands of fish that died because of pollution. You know, that's just the way it is over there. And the things that they have, I remember when I was in Dominican Republic, we saw kids that had nothing. And you'd ask them, where's your clothes? And they'd say, well, we only have one pair. We're saving it for church. I don't want to get it dirty, so I'll just go without. And we, as Americans, look in our closet and we say, all right, what are we going to wear today? All right, no, I wore that yesterday. No, that was too close to what I wore yesterday. Let's see here. All right, that'll work. And we're spoiled. We try hard as parents not to let our children get spoiled. You take them to Walmart, and you end up back in the back by the toy section. And it's every parent's nightmare. Because then you sit there and you hear, can I have that? Can I have that? Oh, that's really cool. Can we buy that? And if the grandparents are with them, usually something ends up in the cart. And you're like, they don't need any more cars. You don't need any more of this. You don't need any more of that. And for some reason, grandparents, they just can't say no, and they just drop it in. My grandma used to tell my mom that she's not spoiling her grandchildren. Spoiling comes from the lack of discipline. That's the parents' fault. Her job is to just love the kids. And so if they're spoiled, it's because the parent didn't discipline them right. Not her fault for buying them everything that they want. But we try and we try to teach our kids that they don't get everything that they want. We try to teach them that there are times when they look at something and they may want it, and we know they don't need it. We look at our checkbook, our wallet. We know we don't have the funds to get it. And so we say, you're sorry, but you got to deal with it. And there are times when we have the funds and we just say, still, you're not getting it. You don't need it. Why? Because we don't want them to feel like every time they go to the store, they're going to get something. They don't get everything they want. But isn't that how we are as adults? We go to the store, we see something that we like, and we look in our checkbook or our wallet, and we say, yeah, I can figure out a way to finagle this bill and move this down so I can pay this then, and it ends up in our shopping cart. And we pay for it. Or someone will say, oh, I've got room on my credit card. I can just charge it and pay it later. And then that credit card bill just keeps on continuing to climb and climb, and it never gets paid down. Why is that? Because we're spoiled. Because we look at stuff, we want it, so we take it and we get it. And that's the society and the culture that we live in. And when you have that type of mentality, when things happen that you don't want happen, and it's out of your control, usually we respond completely differently. We like the idea of being spoiled. We like the idea of the ease. We like the idea of the comfort. We like getting into the car and having fuel to go wherever we need to. We like having all the necessities and even some things that are not necessities in our lives. And so when things happen that we don't want happen, usually we respond to it in the wrong way because we're spoiled. And then we tend to say, God, why did this happen? Everything was going great. Life was fine. And now my whole world is turned upside down. Now I have struggles that I didn't have before. Now I have hardships and heartaches that I never knew I could have. I have feelings and emotions that I didn't know existed. I didn't want to experience this. Why would you let this happen to me? And once again, why not? The world, they're going to have it. If we got a list of everybody's problems and difficulties and hardships, everything that you're facing and battling, and you wrote it all down, we could go find people out there that are good moral people, that are unsaved, that are facing the exact same things. But as Christians, we feel like God should protect us and create a hedge about us and should filter everything out so that we don't have to be exposed to sin and worldliness and different things of finances and hardships and struggles. And then we want to blame God when it does happen. But God allows it for a number of reasons. And I'm not going to go through every single reason that God allows something to happen in our lives, because we'd be here for a while. And there are times also when God allows something to happen, but there's a difference between God's plan for something to happen in our lives and where God allows something to happen in our lives. With sin does, God does not plan for sin in our lives. When you make a decision based off of your emotions and your decisions based off of your lust of your flesh, God does not plan for that to happen. But He does allow it, because we have our own nature. We have our own decisions. We're not robots. So there are things that He allows, and then there are things that He plans for us to go through. And when He allows it, or when He plans for it, there's a couple reasons. One reason is because it keeps us humble. It knocks us down a bit. We ride the easy life for a while, and God says, okay, that's enough. It's time for you to experience some hardships. It's time for you to experience a little bit of humility, because your pride is getting in the way just a little bit. The Bible says that God hates pride. He hates it. Because when we have pride in our lives, we're basically telling God, we don't need you. God, I've got this all figured out, and I'll keep you at arm's length. And when I need you, I'll know where to go to get you. A lot of our little problems that we face, we'll say, God, it's okay, I can fix this. I got this. It's all right. I know what to do. And we don't include God into it. And our pride separates us from God just a little bit. And the more and more that we allow pride in our lives, the more and more that we're separated away from God, because we keep Him at arm's length instead of walking side by side with Him. We want just a little bit. My son, Marcus, he's a daredevil. And he does not like to get any assistance at all. And then there are times when he has gotten himself into problems and he's needed that assistance. And then the first thing he yells out for is, Dad, can you help me? Anthony was doing it the other day. He got out and was walking on a little bit of a ledge, and he got a little braver and a little braver. And then he got out and realized how far out he was, and he didn't like it. And so he yelled for help. That's what kids do. They like to see how independent they can be. And we do the same thing with God. We're no different. We're just a little bit older, and we can hide our problems a little bit better. It's the only difference. We go through the same problems. We go through the same heartaches. We have the same things, emotions, and all that. We just know how to cover it up. And so we'll say to God, God, it's all right. I've got this. I don't need you. We don't necessarily say, I don't need you. But our actions and our attitude says, God, it's okay. When I need you, I'll call for you. Now, I know you're there for me. I know that you're going to listen to me. But I don't need you right now. And God allows things to come into our lives so that we get a little humble. We get that humility where we turn to God. We say, God, I need you because there's nobody else that can help me. Nobody else who can understand like you can. And so, God, I need you. Somebody once said that we would run to God less if we walked with God more. We spend more time with God than we rely on Him more. And when the problems come, we don't have to run very far. Because God's right there. Because we didn't get that pride. We didn't get filled up with our own self and our own ideas. And we relied on God to get us through the hardships. Even if we can figure it out ourselves, we still should rely on God. The second thing, God lets us go through things to keep us humble. And then He does it also to bring us closer to Him. We need to draw nigh to God. Just like James says, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. But we have to take the steps. A lot of people, when they have this situation where God allows something to happen so that it'll cause them to come back to Him, sometimes they just walk away from God. And they say, God, how could you let this happen? How could you do this? I remember I had a friend of mine went to school with, and his dad was a pastor in another place. And when he graduated from high school, he walked away from church. And I remember seeing him a couple of years later, and I went up and I talked with him, and I said, what are you doing right now? And he told me what he was living out of town in another city. And, I said, where are you going to church at? Oh, I'm not going to church. I said, why not? He said, well, you know, I've seen my dad pour his heart out into the church. And I've seen him just give everything that he can. And then I've seen the hypocrisy of Christians and how they just took advantage of him, how they were mean to him and cruel. He said, I don't want to be a part of that. And he found his reason to get away from God. They had a little bit of adversity, and instead of relying on God through it, he turned away and walked away from it. If we're not careful and we don't stay close to God and we don't keep that relationship with Him, and we just keep Him at bay when things come up, it's easier for us to walk away. Miss church. Not come back for at all and just say, I don't need it anymore. I didn't get help while I was there, so why go at all? It's amazing. We can reason in our minds why we should do certain things. We can reason in our minds and say, well, this is why I'm going to make this decision, even though we know scripturally it's wrong. But we made it sound good in our mind, and so we just follow through with it. That young man, he knew he was supposed to be in church. He knew he was supposed to live right. He knew how he's supposed to act. I don't know how many friends that I had at college that have walked away from God. I had a friend of mine, they were working at a church, and during the summer, running their buses and junior church, and they were just on fire for God. They were just having a great time. They're seeing souls saved. Their ministry was growing. Things were going great. And all of a sudden, the pastor took everything away from them and gave it to somebody else. And they just got so hurt from it. I went back and I saw them about a year after they graduated and went to their apartment, opened up their refrigerator, and they had a case of beer sitting in there. They went from being called to preach, ready to go, and they were in the ministry, serving God, doing something, and all of a sudden, one thing happened. Adversity came, and instead of turning to God to get them through it, they walked away. They said, yeah, we frequent go to bars and we live that life and all of that. And they said, you know, we respect you. We won't drink in front of you and we know where you stand, but we won't go back anymore. Why? Because instead of drawing nigh to God, they walked away. And every single one of us can be faced with that same decision. None of us are exempt from it. You could be a Sunday school teacher, a deacon. You could be a faithful member of Heritage Baptist Church. But when adversity comes, if you don't turn to God for help, there's no telling how far you'll drift away from God. You don't know how far you'll go. Usually when Christians turn their back on God, they go farther into sin than what the world would. Because they know what the joy is in serving God. They've experienced a feeling that nobody else can give them. And they search and they crave for it. And they look for it every single way that they can. And they can't get it. Because the only way to have that is by walking with God. Doing right. Serving God. And they'll try and they'll look in sin and they'll look in the worldliness and everything that it has to offer, and it'll just be empty. Why? Because they walked away. Instead of allowing the adversity to draw you closer to God, you pushed away. Lastly, and this is my favorite, God allows adversity in our lives to show how great God is. God can allow something to happen to you, and He says, it's all right. I'm going to show the world what a Christian can do when they're faced with something like this, when they rely on me. Paul here in 2 Corinthians, he had something wrong with them. In verse 8 it says, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. We don't know exactly what it was. Paul didn't go into it. We don't know if it was a physical problem. Paul was not a very tall man. Paul was a frail individual. We don't know if it was something that was medical. We don't know if it was a family member. Some people believe that Paul was married and that his wife did not want to follow after Christ, was not a Christian. And some people, there's a lot of different things that people try to piece in and make up when the Bible doesn't clearly say it. I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell me. When I get to heaven, if God feels like I need to know, He'll let me know. But I don't know what it was. Just the same as I don't know what your problem is. We don't know what Paul's problem was. We don't know what each other faces. I don't know your hardships. I don't walk in your shoes. I don't know the pain that you go through. The heartache. The loneliness. The struggles. The difficulties. I don't know. I don't experience it. And like I said, we get really good at hiding it when we come to church. We put our church face on, our church clothes on. We sit in our favorite spot over and over again. If you're Sherry, you always bring a jacket. even if it's 70 degrees out. We sit and we laugh. We can talk to people. We can hide it very well. Then we go home, and the hardship comes and it's there. And we endure and we go through it, usually alone, because nobody else knows. We don't want to include them. We don't want to tell them. We don't want to air out our dirty laundry to everybody else, why, what we're going through. Just like Paul, he didn't tell us what it was. Why? Probably because he didn't want us to know. I don't want you to know what I go through, no more than you want to tell me. All that matters is we all have something that we go through. We all have struggles. We all have heartaches. And when we rely on God, and just like Paul said, God, take this away from me. And he's saying, I can be more effective if you would remove this. Think of how much more I could accomplish for you if you just took this away and then I don't have to worry about it anymore. And God said, my grace is sufficient. I'm all you need. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God can have His perfect will in our lives when we're at our weakest points. Because when we are weak, we have no choice but to rely on God. And everything that we do and the results that come from it is because of God. A Christian can go through something, the same thing as somebody else in the world, and if we make the same decisions that they do, we get the same results. And usually, nothing great comes from it. Because it's in our own abilities. We're trusting in ourselves to get through it. Just the same as the world is. But when we trust on God, we say, God, I have this. It's a thorn in my flesh. And you know what it is. I don't need to say it because you already know. What am I to do? God, if you were here, what would you do? How would you respond? How would you act? That's how I need to act. And when we respond how God would want us to, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. And He enables us to get through it. But not only does He enable us to just get through the hardship, but God is glorified on how we do it. And everybody else that sees it and knows what's going on, and other people that are unsaved, and they look at you and they say, how can you get through the problems that you're getting through? And you say, oh, let me tell you how. It started when I was a kid and I made the first decision to trust in Christ as my Savior. Now, just because I did that doesn't mean that I have a life of ease. But let me tell you how He's encouraged me through this. Let me tell you how God has helped me along the way. How about you? And turning it back to them. Do you know God? When we trust God, and His strength is made perfect in our weakness, our lights shine a whole lot brighter in this world. God allows it to happen so that people will notice how we handle things and will turn to Him. Look at Job, and everybody looks back at Job and says, boy, look at all the hardships that he went through. Look at how he came out on top afterwards. I don't know about you, but I would not want to go through what Job went through. Every parent's fear is to have to bury their children. Job had to bury all of his at once. But everybody looks back at Job and says, Job can do it. so can I. And we do it by trusting in God. We do it by not putting it in our own abilities and our own faith to get through it, but by saying, God, I'm just going to trust you. And every one of us have hardships. Every one of us have problems. The question is just going to be is, what are you going to do when you're faced with them? Will you respond like the world does? And if you do, you'll have the same results that they do. You have the same hardship still. It'll be messy. It'll be difficult. You may be able to get through it, but it won't be as easy as if you were to trust in God. Now, I'm not saying that you just sit there and pray and trust God, then all of a sudden everything is roses and sunshine and you get through it and you can skip through the day. Because that's not how it is. We still have our hardship. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden that problem just disappears. But God is able to give us strength when we need it. There are days that you may feel a little bit stronger than other days. And God knows. And He's able to get you through by giving you the exact amount of strength. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When we trust in God through our infirmities, God knows that it's Him that's doing it. It's not us. It's not our pride. We can showcase to the world, hey, if you're faced with this adversity, this is what can happen at the end when you've trusted in God. This is how you can get through it. When you're faced with problems, and we all will, the decision just comes down to, what are you going to do? Are you going to trust in yourself, or are you going to trust in God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. Thank you that you answer our prayers. Lord, it may not be the right answer that we want. It may not be the one that we're looking for, but it's the right answer because it's the one you gave us. And I pray, Lord, that when we go through the hardships that we would turn to you, and then we'd have faith to trust you through it, even when it may seem difficult. Help us not to quit, but to keep trusting in you. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. It's pretty hard to do that if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you've never had a moment when you said, I'm going to trust Him and only Him to get me to heaven. If you've never done that, you're facing the battles alone. That's a pretty lonely place to be. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'd like to pray for you. If you just lift your hand up and say, you know what, honestly, that's me. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I'd like to pray for you. Is there anybody like that tonight? All right. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But I'm sure that there's some battles and difficulties and struggles that you're going through. You don't want to tell anybody, no more than I want to. But there is somebody that we can turn to, and that's God. He hears us, and He has the ability to do something about it. The decision just is, what are you going to do? Lord, we thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for your scriptures that can encourage us when we need it. Give us direction when we're lost. Lord, give us strength when we're weak. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every one of us. Help us as we go our separate ways. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our pastor, strengthen him up and get him ready for Easter. Lord, we miss him and we pray that you just encourage him tonight. I know he wants to be here bad, but thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In your name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.